Now, we want to give everyone who is here a very warm welcome. Thank you so much for coming to be with us tonight for this gospel meeting. This is a meeting that, for people who are not necessarily members of the assembly here that meet in the Gospel Hall in O'Leary, this meeting, they come and they love to hear the gospel preached as well. But it's really specifically for those who themselves have not yet become a Christian. It's a gospel meeting. It's a good news meeting. And we're sure that you have been invited here, and we're glad that you've responded to that. And really, going to heaven is similar to you coming to this meeting. At some point, you were invited, and at some point, you decided to go, and you made a commitment to someone that you would be there, and you were here, and someone has likely brought you. But going to heaven is different in this, that you were invited, and you make a decision whether you want to go or not, and you make a commitment to go there, but you cannot get to heaven on your own, as you could come to this meeting on your own. If someone brought you here, that's really what Christ came to do as far as heaven is concerned. He came to earth to die, and when he invites us, he takes us. He saves us, and he brings us on our way until eventually we are in heaven. It's by his worth, his death, his life, that's what it takes. It's by him that we are saved and that we can go to heaven. So tonight, if you miss everything else, know this at least from my part of the meeting. You are invited to this meeting and you've come, but you are being invited to heaven by God himself. Now let's speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks to the Lord Jesus and to thee for him and for what he has done. Certainly the words, how wondrous a Savior is God's blessed Son, they're true words. He left heaven. He sacrificed so much. He gave himself so that we would receive eternal life when we are so unworthy. We're sinners by nature and by practice. And yet there are some of us in this meeting tonight, in this room, and we know for sure we'll be in heaven when we die. We give thanks for that and ask you that there might be others that will come to know Christ as Savior. Help us to speak simply, yet with solemnity, with seriousness, we would pray, and yet with clarity. And we would ask you that most of all, the word of God and the work of Christ will come to the foreground tonight, and that we might hide behind the cross. And with the Christ of the cross, we would pray. So, Lord, we would look to thee. We know there are others that have been invited, and they haven't come. We would just commit them to thee, that thou'll speak to them where they are, as we pray for help and blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, please. The Gospel of Mark, the second book of your New Testament, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. This is a story, and it would do well to read it all, but I'm going to read three words. I have three words underlined in my Bible. In verse 21, I have the second word underlined, and we have the fifth and sixth words underlined in this Bible that I'm reading from. And I want to underline those words in your mind tonight. These are the words, verse 21, Mark 10, verse 21. Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. The idea that the Lord Jesus loved people individually is not something that's unique to Scripture. And yet it really is not recorded in that many places that there was a specific statement that the Lord loved one person in particular. We know that God loved the world. And the Apostle Paul, he grasped that personal aspect and said, he loved me and gave himself for me. And that is the truth of the gospel. And the Apostle John, as he writes his gospel, the account, the fourth gospel of our Bible, fourth book in the New Testament, as he writes so often, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And the Spirit of God allowed him to interpose that instead of his name. So he wasn't drawing attention to himself by name John, but rather just to claim that place of appreciation, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's a special thing. And then there's a home in Nazareth, in Bethany, that there was three people living in, two sisters and a brother. And each one in that home, it says that the Lord Jesus loved them. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. And so he loved those with a special love. But this man stands somewhat unique in Scripture. He stands as one that it says specifically of him, as if there was no one else around, as if there was no one else in his village, just to this man particularly. Jesus loved him. Absolutely unique. It's not just that he loved the world. It's not just that he loved a disciple who leaned on his breast. It's not just that he loved the Apostle Paul, who had been such a preacher and gives us at least 13 epistles in the Bible. But rather, here's a man, and it says specifically of him, Jesus loved him. Do you know that the Lord Jesus loves you? Do you know that God loves you? He loves the world. But do you know that he loves you? You would say, well, that's a very comforting thing. In fact, there was one person that I spoke to a few years ago visiting door to door, and she said her moment when she claimed she was saved was the moment she actually realized that God loved her. You know, that's not salvation. Realizing that Christ loves me or God loves me is a wonderful thing to know. And it's something we can claim specifically. It's not just that it's unique to this man, but it's unique in the Bible that he loved this person. Because you know where this man stands unique? It says that Jesus loved him. But that was not enough to keep him out of hell. As far as I know, this man stands uniquely upon the page of Scripture, the only one that it says Jesus loved him specifically and uniquely. Yet while I'm speaking to you on this platform tonight, as far as we know, this man is in hell. To be loved by God, to be loved by the Lord Jesus, is not enough to keep you out of hell. But you don't have to go to hell tonight. You know why this man was loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we believe, according to what Scripture leaves us, we're left to believe he's likely in hell? You know why? Because he wouldn't accept the place that God gave him as a sinner. Doesn't mean he was a particularly bad man in the community. Likely he was upstanding. Likely this was a man that people would say they had it together. This was a young man who likely never even went through a period of sowing his wild oats. This was likely a man, if we are to read the Scripture correctly, there was something sincere, there was something warm about him, there was something that was devoted about him, there was something religious about him, there was something that was upstanding and upright about him as far as other human beings went. He says, when it comes to the commandments of God, he says, all these have I observed, not from my 20s when I kind of got over that wild streak, not from my 30s when I got a family and I started to settle down. This man said, and likely it was accurate, as far as he could see, he had not broken God's commandments. As far as he understood it, he says, as far as he was willing to admit at least, he says, all these have I observed from my youth up. He hadn't committed sexual sins. He hadn't been a thief. He hadn't been a killer. He was just a fine, upstanding person in the community. And he was sincere. You know, more than that, he was a man who was willing to ask the biggest question that you can ever be faced with in life. You got questions in life? Do you ever wonder where you're going to be 10 years from now? Do you ever wonder about that big financial issue, how you're going to pay for a house, what you're going to do for work, what's next year, 10 years, where the world's going? Those are all big questions. But this man, as the Lord Jesus looked at him and he loved him, one of the things that likely marked him out was this. He was a man who was willing to ask the biggest question you can ever be faced with in life. You know what that question was? What can I do to get eternal life? How can I know where I'll be 100 years from now? How can I know where I'll be for all eternity? He was willing to ask that. He was likely one who laid awake at night thinking about this. Likely that's why he tried to do the best that he could. He tried to keep the law because he thought that was the way to heaven. If I can do the best that I can, if I can keep the law, surely I'll make it to heaven. I'll live, in that sense, I'll live eternally. At least in the grasp he had. Have you ever faced the biggest question in life? Where will you be after death? And the Bible says there's only heaven and there's only hell, only two places. And every single one of us in this meeting tonight will either be in heaven or in hell forever. And this man wanted to be in heaven. And he was willing to face the question and ask it, what do I have to do to live eternally? And the Lord Jesus loved him. So many people don't want to think about that question. They don't want to face it. They'll face the other questions. They'll face the bills. They'll face the marital problems. They'll face the problems with children. They'll face problems at work. They learn how to solve problems. They learn how to get answers to questions. They know where to look. So many of our questions today, we just Google it and an answer pops up. But what about the biggest problem, the biggest question you will ever be faced with in life? What about eternity? What about after death? The Lord Jesus looked at this man and he loved him. He was sincere. There was a sense of uprightness. There was at least in a measure a good living man. And others would think he was all right. And when he asked the question, I think that he really wanted to know. I think the Lord Jesus appreciated the man's sincerity because it's not some kind of crocodile love that is being talked and tears that were being shed. That as far as the Lord Jesus was being concerned, when he looked at this man and he knew what he wanted for him and he saw him asking the questions and he loved him genuinely. He loved him. He was willing to ask the biggest question. You know what it says about the Lord Jesus? Not only that he loved him, but it says he looked at him. He was beholding him. What did he see when he looked at him? You know, it's interesting that it says that here in Mark's gospel because Mark's gospel is the action gospel. The Lord Jesus is so busy. He's moving. He's constantly doing. He's accomplishing things. But here's a man and he's moving. And he comes running. The Lord Jesus looked. He saw the man running. He saw the man kneeling. But more than that, he didn't only see his actions. He saw his heart. He knew the sincerity. He knew the measure of honesty. He looked at him. Can we tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus loves you? And he's looking upon you. He sees your actions. The sins are recorded. He sees your earnestness and your interest if you want to be saved. If you would be willing to face the question of where you'll be for eternity, he sees that. He knows that. He's willing to speak to the person who asks this question. He will never brush them off. He will always give them what they need to come to that place where they're honest before God when they can see what Christ has done so that he can save them. But you know what he will not do? He will not save a dishonest soul. outside of the work of what he has done. The only way a person can be in heaven is if they understand I'm a sinner, and that's why the Lord Jesus Christ died. He loves us all, but he saves those who come to him in honesty. It's not just the outward actions. He looks on the heart, and he knew what was in the man's heart. And he was grieved at it. He loved him as he looked upon him. He's unique in that love. And yet, as far as we know, he's in hell. You know, the Lord Jesus listened to him. He didn't only look at him and love him, but he actually listened to the man. You see, there's two people talking here. The man speaks, and the Lord Jesus speaks. And when the Lord Jesus speaks, he uses this. He used the Bible that had been written at that point. What had been written? He quotes from it. He himself is the Word of God. Yet we learn the importance of the Word of God for a searching soul. When the man is speaking and he's asking, facing the biggest question in life, do you know where the Lord Jesus pointed him to? To the written Word of God. He pointed him to the Bible and said, this is where you will find your answers. Do you know, tonight you will not find your answers in a church. You will not find your answers in religion. You will find the answers to the biggest questions in life from the Bible. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. And before he could know where he would be forever, the Lord Jesus said, first you've got to face who God is and who you are before him. And he referred him to the Bible. And he reminded him of sin. And that we are sinners. And that we're lawbreakers. We've broken God's laws. We've offended God. You would almost think that the Lord Jesus was saying, keep the commandments and you'll get to heaven. Not what he was saying. He was using the Word of God, the law of God, for its intended purpose, that it would convict sinners of their sins. That they would see the standard of God and know, I cannot keep this law. And this man, he only brought before him what was manward. He didn't even remind him of the love that would be required to God himself. And the Lord Jesus, as far as he was concerned, that should have been enough to convince the man, I'm not worthy of heaven. But you know what he was looking for? He already knew the answer he was looking for. He approached the Lord Jesus as if he was just a good teacher and he could just fill in the blanks. He had most of it together, but there were some little areas where he needed a little bit of help. He needed a little understanding. He needed something more. And the Lord Jesus, if he filled that in, he could kind of do the rest himself. You know, you can't get to heaven that way. Nobody can get to heaven that way. And though the Lord Jesus loves sinners specifically and uniquely, yet every single one has to come and admit, I am a sinner before God. And it's only then that God can save them. And the Lord Jesus listened. There was a conversation, a question asked. The Word of God comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus listened. And how sad he must have been. We don't even know what the man said other than, he took the high ground and he says, I've kept the law. I'm a good person. That was the gist. You can read it for yourself. You'll read that basically he was saying, I'm a good person, but I don't know I'm ready for heaven. And that's not what a person can come to, the conclusion we can come to when we read the Bible. We have to come to the conclusion that we're not good people. And the Lord Jesus said, why are you calling me if I'm only a teacher, if I'm only a man like myself, like yourself? Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, that's God. And this man was taking ground that the Bible never gave him. His life, in a sense, backed up his claim as far as humans were concerned, but not in the eye of God. He says, there's none good but one, not two, not God and this man. Not the Lord Jesus and this man. Only God is good. The Lord Jesus is saying. All of us have sinned. And that doesn't take away from the fact that Jesus loved him. He loved him even though he was a sinner. He loved him even though he was unlovable. That's the amazing thing. The love of God does not depend on me. But rather, it's from the heart of God reaching out and loving and doing what we cannot do, providing the actions that we cannot provide. That's the love of God. It's a self-sacrificing love. Christ came and God gave his son to take our place so that we can be saved. That's the message of the gospel tonight. Jesus loved him. He looked on him. He listened to him. You know, I think as the Lord Jesus looked at him and his love was burning in his heart for this man, he had a deep longing for this man. He coveted this man, if you will, for himself. You know what he told him? He says, I want you to become a follower of me. I want you to know what it is to deny yourself. This man was rich and he could provide whatever he wanted. He was hoarding it for himself. But the Lord Jesus said, I want you to learn to be able to deny yourself and to be a true follower of me. The only way you could ever say no to yourself and live a life that's pleasing to God and follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus and of the Bible? If you become a Christian, if you have the Spirit of God indwelling, do you know what the deep longing of the Lord Jesus was for this man? That he would be, yes, a sinner, saved by grace. Not because he deserved it, but because God loved him and provided a means of salvation for him. And the Lord Jesus had a deep longing that this man, along with others, would be a disciple, a follower, a Christian, a follower of Christ. You know, there's not much about us really that's lovable. Nothing really. But you know one thing we can say for those who are saved in this meeting? We love to follow the Lord Jesus. We love to read his word. We love to hear about him. We love to worship him. We like to sing about him. We like to tell about him. We are followers of the Lord Jesus because he has saved us from our sins. He has taken our place on the cross so that we could be forgiven. A full pardon has been provided so that we can be saved. That's the deep longing the Lord Jesus had for this man. The next statement from the Lord Jesus, he spoke about how difficult for those that have riches to be saved. That's what he wanted for this man, that he would be saved. You know what we want for you? Same thing as God tonight. We want you to be saved, to be a Christian, a true Christian, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in Christ and none of myself. That's what we want. The Lord Jesus longed for him. But not only did the Lord Jesus love him and look upon him and listen to him and long after him, the last thing is likely the most solemn. He let him make the choice. He couldn't make it for him. We can't make it for you either. It's a choice that only you can make. There was a man who, hearing the Apostle Paul speak, said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. But no one can make that choice but you for yourself. Even Christ himself would not save this man against his will. He gave him the word of God. He told him he was a sinner. And then the Lord Jesus backed away and let him make his own choice. And do you know what that choice was? This man that Jesus loved went away grieved,
sorrow in his heart, not knowing where he would be for eternity. And the only man of which it says in Scripture, this man stands unique. Jesus loved him. And yet, as far as we know, he's in hell. You could be saved tonight and be in heaven because Christ died for you so that your sins can be forgiven.